I want to begin this morning by telling you about something that happened to me about 3 years ago. With me was my two kids, my sister Roxanne, and my niece and my nephew Emily and Daniel. It took place in one of the most beautiful places that I have ever been. A place called Florence Lake, California. Now, this particular lake is part of an Edison hydroelectric project built in the early part of the 1900s up in the High Sierras. I have taken the family wilderness camping there 5 times during my stay in California. What I love about Florence Lake is the natural beauty. It rivals Yosemite, but it's in a setting with no people. The place we have chosen to camp leads us along a 17-mile, one-lane mountain switchback to the end of the road. And there we would take all of our gear, which was substantial, and we'd put our things into a boat, and we'd take the half-hour trip across the lake to our campsite, right on the edge of the John Muir Wilderness. Well, the year that we were there with Daniel and Emily and Roxanne, we realized that on our last full day of camping, that we needed to get that other propane tank from the car. You see, I have a big stove. It's 90,000 BTUs that I camp and cook with. Food is high on the priority list when you camp with me. So I volunteered to take the boat for that hour-long round trip over to the car. Well, long story short, I got over to the car and I realized that my son Charlie still had the car keys in his pocket. So off I went, adding another hour-long round trip. But you know, after I got over my frustration with myself and not checking before I left, I settled in to enjoy this magnificent beauty of the world around me. Now, when preachers take time to do this, our thoughts inevitably turn to next week's sermon. For me, the parallel was just too direct. And so in this morning's story, Jesus and the disciples are the ones who are hopping into the boat together, trying to steal away from the crowd, to rest for a while, to regain their strength for what was ahead. Now, the biblical narrative by Mark seeks to demonstrate here the power of Jesus over the disorientation of the world. They identify the ministry of Jesus with the saving acts of God known previously in the Exodus story. Through Jesus, the gospel writer here tells us that God has come again to save and to heal the world. That's a heavy message to bring. For the disciples and most of us, it's not that easy. The disciples are wonderful people because they always remind me of how we can so often miss the point entirely. They've been out and about doing good, working for Jesus, preaching and teaching. And they come to Jesus to collect his praise and admiration for all the work that they've been doing. And I can almost hear them going, "Look at me, look at us." Instead of cheering them on, Jesus has a better idea. He says, "Come away with me to a deserted place and rest for a while. Get into the boat with me. Let the waves rock us for a while. Enjoy the day with me. Come away with me." That's a message we need to hear. We need the rhythm of life on and off the boat, but many of us are stuck on shore, holding up our report cards and shouting, "Look at me. Look at how busy I am, how full my life is, and everything I'm doing." We measure value and meaning by our accomplishments and our busyness. Worse than that, our culture screams at us, be busy all the time. We've got jobs to do. We've got houses to keep and pets to be fed and gardens to water. We've got email to answer and cell phones and Facebook and Twitter to keep up with. We can become so busy with the tasks of the day that we forget what that day is for. A friend of mine was trying to have a heart-to-heart talk with her daughter. And she kept wondering why every few minutes her niece seemed to be looking away, kind of into the fold of her arm. And there it was. Tucked into the crook of her elbow was her cell phone. And all the while she was texting her friends while her mom was trying to talk about the meaning of life. One of the most frustrating things I think about modern life is how difficult it's become to come away, to get away from it. Even for a boat ride to the other side of the lake. But Jesus is wise. He carries a sense of Sabbath with him most all of the time. He doesn't seem very impressed with the accomplishments of his team in today's lesson. He's already in the boat and ready to sail. Come away. You know, I received the gift of come away that day in the boat in the mountains as I drove across that lake. It was a brief time, but it was one that I received a lesson not only of rest and restoration, but of relearning the rhythm of life. Both in and out of the boat. And I've realized that I need to regain a deeper sense of Sabbath, not only in my ministry, but in my life as well. Now, by Sabbath, I mean being able to step out of the busyness of work and into a time away to reflect on the meaning of life and love, to reflect on true vocation and calling. The fourth commandment tells us to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Now it's hard to claim even a part of Sabbath these days, but learning that our lives belong first and ultimately to God might be a good way to begin. One author said that he had learned over the years to pray and play and find Sabbath in the midst of every day. Listen to that again. To pray and play and find Sabbath in the midst of every day. In the midst of productivity and work, we can learn to practice these tiny Sabbaths. Those times of enjoying the boat ride, even though we have to go only to that other side of a small lake. It is in those come-away moments that we learn to set the deep rhythm for the song which is our life. In Barbara Brown Taylor's book, An Altar in the World, she suggests that we take a moment and write down all of the things we know that give us life, but that we never take time to do. Now, on the other side of the page, she suggests we make a list of why it is impossible for you to do these things. Then just keep the paper where you can see it. So I wrote up my list. Here it is. And this is with Kathy's aid as well as my cardiologist. Go for long walks without my cell phone and return when I want to. Pray every morning for 10 minutes when I arrive at church. Skip doing email for a while. Listen to music. clean the garage. Spend a whole day reading a novel. But you know what I didn't do is I didn't make out the other side of the list. I decided to tempt myself with the freedom to climb into the boat and sail away during these summer days of rest. What might your list look like if you took the invitation to come away intentionally? It's tempting to take our lives so seriously that we forget to get in the boat even for a short ride. Life's so busy with demands that we believe we have to fulfill in order to be worthy human beings to others and ourselves. I mean, Jesus was as productive as you or anyone I know. But his first purpose was to live a life in God. And so we meet him napping in the midst of a storm or trotting off to Mary and Martha's in Bethany for dinner. Or moving away from the crowds for rest and replenishment. And he did it so that he could return to the work of bringing in the kingdom of God. He knew that all work and no play and no rest would make him a pretty dull savior. Part of claiming a time for Sabbath is resetting the clock of our lives. Part of it is to simply have time apart. The story reminds us that our work has a tendency to follow us and to be there when we return. Perhaps the best part of coming away is returning to the Spirit once again, returning our spirit to the Spirit's owner. We can trick ourselves into believing that the world cannot do without us, but in reality, I think many of us can't do without the busyness of the world. Jesus reminds us, in order to be compassionate in our relationship, we have to return to the compassionate one. Come away to a deserted place. Rest for a while. Sometimes the deserted place is our own spirit, too often made vacant by the demands of the world. If it's so for you, here in the midst of the summer, find a boat. Get in it. Go across the lake. Come away for a while. Amen. Thank you.